Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, we pray this time would be really useful to us this morning, transformative for us. Please speak to us through your word into our hearts and change the way we live. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, do you mind me asking how you're doing in lockdown? If you had to score yourself, give yourself a score, but it's okay, I'm not going to ask you to text it in or anything. But how are you doing? You see, if you had to mark yourself, would it be 10 out of 10? I guess not likely, especially if you're a Brit. I mean, if you're a Brit, 7 or above means you reckon you're a 10, doesn't it? 4 or less and you think you're having a bit of a mare. But what does God's word say about how you're doing? You see, maybe not as well as we think. Maybe much better than we think. The book of Ecclesiastes is about living wisely. We're picking up this fascinating book as at the halfway point. And this week, the preacher's topic, not my topic, the preacher's topic, or the teacher's topic, his topic is living wisely in the rough times, in times of adversity. So this couldn't be more relevant. And even if for you lockdown is as close as it gets to heaven on earth because, well, you're a bit odd, there are some pearls for tomorrow's tough times for you here. Whenever and whatever that may be for you, even if it's lifting lockdown. Now what the preacher says flows out of a couple of questions there in verse 12. Who knows what is good for us? Who can tell what will happen to us? The expected answer to both questions is no one. No one can know what's good for them. No one can tell what will happen to them. God only knows. So we're cruising through life and something happens. Circumstances change. Something comes up. And we'll say, great, that's fantastic, that'll be good for me. Or, no way, that's bad, that's a disaster. But here's the truth. We haven't got a clue what's good for us or what's bad for us. Not really. We're children. Is it just mine, or do all children think unlimited Magnum ice creams are good for them? That early bedtimes are bad? That limits on screen time, well, they're an evil imposition imposed by an oppressive and illegitimate regime called mum and dad. Parents no different. But the kids, young kids, well, they don't have a clue what's good for them. And the preacher says, we're kids. Our Heavenly Father sends us the rough with the smooth. But we have no idea whether either, neither, or both are good or bad. So rough days come, a lockdown, an illness, a sour relationship, and our temptation, moan and grumble, groan and mumble. Why is this happening to me? This isn't good. It's bad for my health. It's bad for my relationships. It's bad in every possible way. But if we can just back up into verse 11 and verse 10 for a moment, well, we see that complaints are just useless. Complaining words don't change anything. More words is just more hot air, verse 11. Complain about COVID and tomorrow morning you wake up and what's changed? Nothing. And God, verse 10, the creator of all, who names everything that exists because he made everything that exists, including our times and our seasons, the good and the bad, and humanity is, well, but dust. We're powerless to do anything about it. We've no control. And trying to contend with God is pointless and profitless. The prophet Isaiah likens us to pots complaining against the potter. Can you imagine? Lump of clay moaning, well, why have you made me into a pot? I could have been a gorgeous vase or a well-loved coffee cup. This isn't good. You've bodged up my life, potter. But of course, the potter has the rights over the clay. And God has the rights over us and the days he gives us. Grumbling won't change the days God has planned for you. And presuming to know what's better for us than him is unhinged. Last week, skirting around the edge of a local field, I spotted, I don't know, a kestrel or something, circling above, and no doubt keeping an eye out for Mr. Mouse down below. It was a sunny day, so you could see its shadow moving rapidly across the field. But Mr. Mouse wasn't up for being lunch, so after a few moments, the kestrel flew off to another field. And no doubt Mr. Mouse threw a party with his mouse neighbours, keeping 2 metres apart at all times, of course. All the flying about was futile. And the shadow was fleeting, fleeting like our days on Earth, futile like our lives. You see, any impact we make will be brief and temporary, and what's more is that we just haven't got a Scooby-Doo about what tomorrow will bring. That's the meaning behind verse 12. The preacher isn't saying we don't know what will happen after we die. He's saying we don't know what will happen tomorrow. See, our days are few and fleeting, and our future is foggy. So how can we possibly know what's good for us? All this is a bit gloomy and a bit upsetting and unsettling. But the preacher is just warming up to what he wants to say in chapter 7. So if the preacher's reflection in chapter 6, verses 10 to 12 is that we don't know what's good for us, well, his response in chapter 7, 1 to 12 is to say, but some things are better than others. And this is how we can score whether we're living wisely during lockdown, by asking how we measure up to 3 pieces of advice. Here's piece of advice number 1. Think about death. The preacher begins by saying something we'd all agree with. A good name is better than fine perfume. Everyone nods. Character's precious. But then he goes all topsy-turvy on us, saying things we instinctively disagree with and shake our heads at. Verse 1. The day of death is better than the day of birth. What? Verse 2. It's better to go to a funeral than a feast. Really? Verse 3. Frustration, sorrow, tears are better than laughter. No way. He's joking, right? What's going on? How can your day of death be better than your birthday? How can a funeral be better than a wedding? How can a face covered with tears be better than a mouth filled with laughter? Because a good name is better than fine perfume. Because funerals and frustrations make us think about who we are. They provoke serious reflection about our character. Death's all over our TV screens. Sky and the BBC will beam you 24 hours of death every day. See, presently, we have a divinely given opportunity to think about death, ours and others. Have you given it much thought? Or any thought? See, bizarrely, it's easy to give it none, as someone phrased it, to bury our heads in the sand with a blindfold on. I understand. Death's an enemy. Who wants to think about death? But death can be our friend. Death is a menace, but death can also be a mentor. It forces us to ask deeper questions. He encourages us to be kinder, more generous, and more humble people. And in a way that a birthday bash or a wedding never can. So his point is that even in the tragedy of decay, death and disease, good can be found for those willing to think. Think about death. Think about your death. Here's his second piece of advice. Listen to wisdom. See, during days of adversity, there are lessons to be learned, lessons for us to learn. Lessons with great utility. But there's an alternative. The alternative is to fill our ears with silly songs and foolish laughter. During these days, the temptation is to binge watch Netflix and gorge on the latest playlist. But most of it's meaningless futility. It won't make us wise. So his advice, verse 5, is that it's better to listen to a good telling off from a wise person than to listen to the song of fools. The preacher's no party pooper, anti-singing or anti-laughing. No, he's anti-frivolity, anti-froth, anti-what doesn't add value, that which doesn't help in the day of difficulty. He's not banning Michael McIntyre or saying, bin your Justin Bieber CDs. He's saying these things won't help you when it gets tough. So don't make them the staple of your diet. Now, as a kid, I used to love setting fires. We would get armfuls of dried out bracken, heap it together, and then put a match to it. And then whoosh, up it would go in a great blaze of light, crackling and popping, and then go out. Probably just as well, of course. But if you're trying to cook food over bracken or thornbush, well, it's no good. It just burns too quickly. It's all sound and light and no heat. And cold lamb hot pot is useless. It's good for no one. Like the songs and laughter of fools. Spotify recently introduced me to the Moscow-born American singer Regina Spektor. Never heard of her, so I had to go and check her out. She wrote, though, a song called Laughing With. And the song is a rebuke to any who laugh at God. Listen to what it says. God can be funny at a cocktail party, but no one laughs at God in hospital. No one laughs at God in war. No one laughs when they're starving or freezing or so very poor. No one laughs when the doctor calls after some routine tests. No one's laughing at God when it's gotten real late and their kid's not back from the party yet. No one laughs when the airplane starts to uncontrollably shake. No one's laughing at God when they see the one they love walking hand in hand with someone else. The wise listen to wisdom. And that may be means that you can add a point or two to your scorecard. But maybe we need to change our listening diet. You see, just as healthy eating increases physical fitness, healthy listening ups our ability to weather the storms. Think about death. Listen to wisdom. And number 3, be patient, not proud. See, when adversity strikes, it's easy either to A, fly off the handle and get angry, or B, hanker after the good old days, which may or may not be as good as you remember. But it isn't wise. Why? Because getting angry or gloomy doesn't change anything. And in any case, this day might be just the day you need. You don't know. Only with hindsight, at the end of the matter, rather than at its beginning, do we have any hope of making that call right. In the end, of course, we have a much better idea. But not until then. COVID, for example, though obviously much is not good, it may have some positive impacts, teaching us the value of relationships, of work, of food in the fridge. It may develop our characters. It should certainly help us to value church. Bad days for sure, but in the end we may well look back and see good outcomes. Verse 8. The end of the matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Don't be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Don't say, why were the old days better than these? For it's not wise to ask such questions. Our days are few and fleeting. They pass like a shadow, here one moment, gone the next. And we just don't know what's good for us. But some things are better than others. How wise are we? What score will we give ourselves? How can we grow that score? What things do we need to do? To start? To stop? To continue? Verse 11 and 12, they motivate us to follow these 3 things we've been talking about. Money, Well, it's helpful in tough times. It shelters us in the storm. It brings a level of protection. But wisdom is better. Wisdom's like an inheritance, a plot of land you can grow your food on. And if you get really hard up, well, you can rent it out for a bit. And in Old Testament law, of course, at the year of Jubilee, you got your land back. So your land was your security. See, wisdom is like an inheritance, a security. It's better than money. It protects, and it even prolongs life. See, if we think about death, it can prepare us for death by causing us to trust in the only one who can deliver us through death. And it will increase our urgency for the unprepared. At our annual meeting, I offered up two challenges, each one reach one, and each one teach one. That over the course of the next year, each of us Christians prayerfully seek to reach one other person for Christ and seek to teach and encourage at least one other Christian. That's not as easy as it sounds, I know. It's challenging. And we lack the motivation and the urgency. Perhaps we've exhausted our contacts. Perhaps we're discouraged by previous rejection. But if we use lockdown to meditate on death, well, I wouldn't be surprised if we find steel in our backbones and greater warmth in our hearts, the two things that we most need. And if we listen to wisdom during this time, filling our minds with truth, learning lessons, building our houses on the rock, then we will be better able to withstand the storms of life and the judgment to come. And if we're patient and not proud, we'll trust that every day we have on earth, including the bad ones, is given by our King. Our hearts will thank us for less anger. Our minds and bodies will be grateful for less stress. Wisdom's better than money. It's our security. It protects life. It prolongs life. And it points us to eternal life in Jesus Christ. The preacher wraps it up by leaving us this consideration. The work of God. Verse 13. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this. God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, no one can discover anything about their future. When the good days roll, rejoice. Enjoy the family. Enjoy the food. Enjoy the sunshine. This is familiar advice from the preacher. We've heard it before. We'll hear it again. But that's not his focus here. If times are good, enjoy. But if times are bad, remember they too are a gift from a loving Father to his beloved children. We can't wave aside the bad days, nor tell whether tomorrow will be good or bad. There may be a vaccine. There may never be a vaccine. We may see the virus die out or see a sharp spike. We may be in lockdown a few months or a few years, who knows? Whatever the case, we can trust the one who has the whole world, everyone and every day in his hand. We don't know what's good, but we know that he is good and good to us. And Paul said as much when he wrote to the Romans saying, if God is for us, and he is, who can ultimately be against us? God gave his son for us. So then he continues, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing can separate us from God's love. We conquer, we triumph, not in spite of bad days, but in bad days. See, whatever God sends, whether we call it good or bad, is beloved ones for our good. Don't doubt it. The God who gave his son won't send you snakes. Our days are few, fleeting, filled with futility. We don't know what's good for us. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. But Father does. He is eternal. He holds us, our days, and our glorious futures in his hands. Which means that we can always find some good. Not only in the good days, but even in the bad.